Saints, it's good to have another session to fellowship together.
Amen.
On this important topic, you'll note that we've spent so far, this is the third week that we've gathered, and we're continuing on the topic of the small groups.
Right.
So this is very just a crucial matter for us in among all of us in our small groups to really uplift the atmosphere and allow the way for the Lord to have rich gatherings with our small groups where there's a lot of perfecting, care, shepherding, and right. mutual fellowship.
Amen.
And you might remember, if you were here in the last session, that we started off the fellowship using the same verse, this from Hebrews chapter 10. We pray-read the same verse and fellowshiped on it. And we'll continue a little bit along the same lines as last time we gathered, but get a little more into it and hopefully have an opportunity to even practice a little bit.
Right.
Okay. Last time, just as a brief review, we opened up the time changing our thought Amen. Concerning how we come to the small groups.
Amen.
Many times, and I think we've all experienced this, maybe we still do, we have a busy week, we're tired, we're stressed out, we come on Friday and we're just like, I just need to be supplied. That's the view I think many of us have when we come to the small groups, whether we think it or we just feel that way. We may not say it, we may not think it, we just may feel that way. And on the one hand, that's okay, we are busy, we are tired, we are stressed out. But if we all come to the meeting that way, seeking to be supplied, then two things happen. Either no one's supplied because everyone's seeking to be supplied, or we create a clergy laity yeah. where we're expecting someone else to supply us, and it becomes this few people who are supplying everyone and leading everyone, rather than an atmosphere that's conveyed in this verse where we're inciting one another. We're right. exhorting one another. And so the first thought in the last session was, we should all come to the small groups with the view, right. I'm coming to supply others. Yeah. How are others doing? How are others weak? I'm sure someone in this room, maybe everyone had a worse week than me.
Yeah.
So I need to come to supply. But if they're thinking the same thing, then you'll be supplied too. So that was the first thought, our change in our view of how we come to the meetings.
Amen.
The second thing was the need to develop and facilitate an atmosphere of mutuality in the meetings, in right. the small group meetings, a mutual atmosphere. And the example that was given last time was the matter of mutual asking of questions and answering of questions.
Right.
And then some examples were given from a recent small group. I don't know if you remember that. Just practicing this. But this matter of asking questions, maybe it sounds a little easier than it is.
Right.
You know, we'll probably find, or we've found, it's
yeah.
it's challenging to ask questions that will elicit a response.
Yeah.
Sometimes we might ask a question and get no response, and we don't know what to do after that.
Yeah.
So if you get no response, then what? And so it takes practice. It takes some learning. It takes some developing of skill. And so we'll continue to fellowship about this morning. Now, this reading here will take about 3 minutes to read, maybe a little over 3 minutes. I timed it a couple times. So how about we take some time right now with your neighbor and read this portion. We'll just read it through, and then we'll continue and have further fellowship on this. On this matter. Okay?
Amen.
Go.
Good.
Amen. I can scoot over. I can scoot over.
In human society, the way to teach people is to gather them together as students. However, in the church, traditional way of meeting Christianity is also for normal people to come together.
By a traditional way of meeting Christianity is also for
However, Hebrews 10:24
to come together, let us consider one another so as to incite one another to love and
pray.
However, you not abandoning our own assembling together, let us consider one another
so as to exhorting one another
so much more
than
abandoning our own assembling.
Thank you.
The phrase is consider one another, incite one another, to do loving good works, and exhorting one another indicates that the meeting spoken of in these verses is not a meeting for one to teach and others to listen. This is a meeting which all these ten words are saying, inciting and exhorting one
another. In our study and experimentation, we found that the best way to teach is to read questions.
All the ten words are saying,
asking them about the question and asking the question.
In our study and experimentation, we have found that the best way to teach
we need to
raise
not only how to answer questions,
by asking the proper questions, by how to ask questions of others, we spontaneously teach
questions in a proper way is even more difficult.
We need to learn not only how to answer the questions,
we have a burden to teach a certain item
in the group meetings, but also how to ask questions. To ask questions in a proper way is even more difficult than to answer them. If we have a burden to teach a certain item, we should not teach it directly, but turn this burden into a question. We may have a burden to teach the new ones about dealing with idols. However, we should not do this as a teacher. We should rather ask the same in the group meeting how to deal with idols. This will stir up all the attempts to say something.
There
will be different kinds of answers. Each one will say something, and all the speaking will become part of his teaching. Then a brother who knows more than the others can add something, and someone else can add even more. The result will be very good, complete teaching concerning dealing with idols. This way of teaching by asking questions is not carried out by only one person. Rather, it gives an opportunity to all the attendants in the group meeting to function. Regardless of how much one knows and how good his speaking may be, one person speaking can never compare to
many
answers.
Someone may ask how to deal with idols. Another week, someone may ask how to pray.
The person in the meeting has been saved for 20 years, and they all have some experience, and they often say something. After attending group meetings in this way, 3 or 4 years, the saint will be perfected.
Many times when we try to answer a question, we do a lot of good teaching, and we do not answer it
accordingly. Therefore, while one is teaching, all the others must be learning. In this way, everyone is exercised.
Many times when we try to answer a question, we give a lot of good teachings, but we do not answer it according to the asker's thought. Therefore, while one is teaching, all the others must be learning
better way.
In this way, everyone is exercised. We have to learn how to answer in a very fitting way. After going home, we may consider certain questions so that the next time such a question is raised, we can answer it in a better way.
Someone may ask how to read the Bible. There are many ways.
We must answer a question according to the asker. He has asked how to read the Bible. You may say, the best way to read the Bible is simply to read it. Just read it again and again. Then you may go further and tell them that the Bible is the Word of God, so you should pray before reading. Don't forget that he is a new learner. If you go too far, he will not be able to pick up that much.
Just read it again and again.
The new one may raise a question about what it is to eat and drink God. So you should pray. You may be offended when we speak about this.
Don't forget that he is a new learner. If you go too far, he will not.
You may immediately turn to John 6 and teach this one. However,
a new one may raise a question about what it is to give and drink God. He may be offended when we speak about this.
You may say God is our supply, but he is our spirit.
How should you answer? Like, how should you answer this one? You may immediately turn to John 6 and teach this one. However, before you refer people to the Bible, it is good to give them a very simple and practical answer. You may say God is our supply, but he is a spirit.
How can we?
It is too mysterious. It is hard to realize how we can receive his supply. The Bible tells us
you all have
that,
to
God
learn simple
and that God is our living water.
Yet this
Since
simple
God
answer
is our food,
implies
we
a
have
lot
to
of points.
This is God is our living water, we have to drink him. How can we eat and drink him? You all have to learn to give simple answers. Yet this simple answer implies a lot of points. This is a good teaching.
The Bible tells us that God is our living water. Since God is our living water, we have to drink him.
Okay, well, this is a really choice portion. I think this expanded a little overnight, huh? You added something? Anyway, this is really, really good. For those who came in a little late, we were reading this. For the sake of the audio, I'll just underscore a couple key sentences. In our study and experimentation, we have found the best way to teach is to lecture.
No.
Right? No, is to raise questions in the group meetings. Amen. By asking the proper questions and answering the questions of others,
we spontaneously teach, instruct, and perfect others. And I like how later on it talks about learning to answer. You must always consider someone's question and not answer anyone according to your thought.
Yeah, that's good.
This is really important. Not answering according to your thought, but entering into their thought, entering into their question. So I have a few points I want to share and leave enough time at the end for Ben to help us with a little exercise. But I want to start with a word of balance. Like all things in the scripture, all things spiritual, there's a balance. So the balancing word is this. Just to read the word of God always brings in value.
Yeah.
We don't have to be creative with the word of God. Just reading the Bible is always meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when we have a small group gathering and if we don't open the Bible, there's always a little lack.
Yeah.
No matter how awesome the meeting is, if you don't open the Bible and read the Bible, no matter how good it is, you feel like you missed something.
Mm-hmm.
The word of God always brings in value. Mm-hmm. And by extension, the ministry, which is a pure distillation of the word, always has value as well.
Amen.
The point I'm making is that our fellowship here about asking questions and asking answers is not an exercise in trying to be cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like trying to be, oh, how do I do something really dynamic and creative here that something nobody ever thought of? Like, we are not in that realm.
Right.
The Bible always has value.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Now, so that's the important balancing point. But what Brother Lee has here is also very true in the practical realm. And I'll ask you this question. Why did the Lord always speak, or so often speak, in parables? Right? I just mentioned that reading the Bible, even the black and white Bible, has value. But when the Lord spoke, he actually did not always speak that plainly. He often spoke in parables.
Mm-hmm.
Why did the Lord speak in parables? Check with your neighbor. Just 10 seconds. Right?
Yeah.
Anybody want to answer? Anybody want to answer? Okay, that's really, really good. Jessica says so people had to discuss to get to it, right? So it's not at face value. Anybody want to develop that? I mean, that's the main point. Even the Lord would say at times, you know, I've spoken so that you won't understand.
Yep. Yeah.
One way to say that is this. The Lord spoke in parables because he spoke in a way that required the hearer to have spiritual enlightenment.
Wow. Amen.
There needed to be a process. There needed to be an experience where the one hearing received spiritual enlightenment. It could not just be picked up, you know,
yeah,
so simply, so easily. Okay, so I think that is instructive as well. So I'll share a little example. The past two times the YP have gathered, I've been with them, and we've gone through church history. Martin Luther, and then last week, Robert Morrison. Now, you're talking late 15th, early 16th, late 17th, you know, early 18th kind of century church history, stuff that we might like. A bunch of junior high and high school students. How do you present it in a way that they can see something spiritual, right? So I'm just using this as a quick testimony. Last week on Robert Morrison, I started with two questions from two completely different angles. And the first question was, I asked them, and Ben, you were there, about whether they had heard of the news articles about this this man from Washington State who went to that remote island,
yeah,
off the, you know, between India and Thailand to preach the gospel, and he was presumably killed by the natives there. I think many of you heard about this article. It's quite something, and I really wrestled with it in my head about even possibly bringing the New York Times article, which was a very fairly done report about, but I asked them about it. Initially, people were like, oh, we don't know what you're talking about, but then quickly they realized, oh, and they all kind of jumped in. And so now there's a current event that's actually very timely. Hard to believe it happened in 2018.
Yeah.
And then I just asked him this question, should he have gone? You know, would you have gone by yourself? Would you have not gone? Or would you have taken a companion? You know, and we kind of all went around the room. They all had opinions. They all had thoughts. They all were engaged. And I will not say, like, there's no easy answer, by the way.
Yeah.
I had mixed feelings about it. I was saddened. I was all of these things. But my point is, immediately, they were all engaged. And then I took it another direction, and this sounds a little heavy, but actually, trust me, they didn't take it as such. But we're talking about this very influential missionary, Robert Morrison, and I had spent time at his tomb, at his graveyard in Macau, outside Hong Kong, and it had made an impression on me, what was written on his tombstone. So I asked them this question. So at this point, they're already kind of thinking, oh, by the way, we got to this point in our discussion where what should this brother have done if he wanted to reach the locals? And on their own, these young people came up with the notion that actually there needs to be a way to learn the language of the locals to be able to communicate with them. That's a big point. And they got to that organically on their own through this kind of right fellowship. And then I asked them, okay, another direction. What do you want written on your tombstone at the end of your life? You know? And again, trust me, they didn't take it, you know, right? I said, it's not that meaningful for your tombstone to say he was a pretty good Fortnite player. She had pretty cool clothes. Like, immediately their thoughts were transported out of insignificance into something significant, right? Mm-hmm. And then with this basis, we got into Robert Morrison, who laid the foundation for the Lord's move in China because he went and he translated the Bible into Chinese. And so all of a sudden, current events, history, tied together, and even considering their personal situation. And then we got into the Word. I just use that as an example that, because last week we watched the Thanksgiving conference, we were with them for a while. And, you know, I look in their eyes, you know, they were following. And they really did. And these things get in them. Okay, I use that as an example because guess what? What if I said, okay, open your cell phones and go to Wikipedia and look up Robert Morrison. And let's spend the whole time just reading the Wikipedia article about Robert Morrison. They might have gotten the facts better. They might have gotten even clearer. Probably would have been a lot more efficient. But was there the engagement and the exercise that actually requires some spiritual enlightenment? Do you follow me? So sometimes when we just say, there's a principle here. You know, this Bible we have here, it's possible that we treat it like a spiritual Wikipedia. Oh, what is this thing about calling on the name of the Lord? Oh, you don't know? Read Acts 2:21 and read the footnote. It's all there. Yeah. You go. Okay, you go to Acts 2:21 and you read the footnote, and then we point out, look at this. Classic footnote. It's a whole page long, and it talks about all the things about reading the, you know, calling on the Lord, and you just read it and you got it. You see my point?
Yeah.
The truth, brothers and sisters, is not cheap.
Yeah.
It's not cheap. The principle of the truth is that it requires paying the price. And so if we are if we think it can just be conveyed in kind of a casual way, and then you get it, then we have underestimated the price that's paid, and we've somewhat cheapened it. Ben used this phrase last time. What was it, Ben, about the truth or the word? I know we have the
giving
recording.
Away too cheaply.
He said, like we shouldn't give the truth away cheaply.
Or the answer.
Or the answer away cheaply.
Yeah.
Like we have to let people be in that realm. But, you know, the Lord spoke the parable, so the truth, you think about all the parables concerning the kingdom. Those are precious, and they require much exercise. Mm-hmm. It wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
It wasn't. And so when we're in the small group gathering, when we're in shepherding, when we're in one-on-one, we really have to have this view that there is value in paying the price.
Amen.
And even to see the truth clearly. I'm gonna try to wrap up in a minute now. Some of you know I was in Athens a month ago or so, but a bunch of us were in that area. And I was there at the Areopagus where Paul preached the gospel. And it's really something. You know, this is Acts 17. You could follow along really quickly. But starting with verse 19. Okay, you know, before this scene, Paul is going around and he would go to synagogues. And what would he preach in the synagogues? What would he use? He would use a scripture. He used the Old Testament scripture to preach to the Jews in the synagogue. And here he is at the Areopagus right outside, this famous religious center in Athens, the Acropolis and all of these temples. And he starts engaging with the Athenians. And I won't take the time to read it, but he doesn't quote scripture. With the Greeks, he used philosophy and the human creation. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, I was passing through and carefully observing the objects of your worship. I found an altar on which was inscribed. You know, he's talking about their deities. Mm. I like this phrase. I was carefully observing the objects of your worship. If we want to preach to the locals, we have to know what the locals worship.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand what people are worshiping. Wow. What's on people's mind. And Paul, even, Acts 17, 28, let's read this verse all together if you have it. Ready, go. For in him we live and move and are, as even some poets among you have said, for we are also his race. That's in the Bible. But you know, when we talk about the high peak and God becoming man in life and nature, but not in the Godhead, we don't really use this verse. But it says, we are his race. Why don't we use this verse much? You know why? So this is some Greek poet. In other words, Paul quoted a Greek poet to make a point for the gospel, and it wound up in the Bible. Wow. You follow me?
Yeah.
Okay, I can take all the time. I didn't mean to go that long. Let me pause here. I think you have a flavor. You have the excerpt if you missed it coming in late. Ben?
Okay, we have a few minutes here. We're going to try to do this quick. And I'd like you to... I know it may be silly. You may feel silly doing role play or like talking to each other and stuff like that about something you may know the answer about. But I hope that you would do this with consideration. Listen, we want you to speak to each other and try to convey the matter of eating the Lord using John 6:51. And let me give you an example.
Good.
Our thought might be to ask, how do you eat the Lord?
Right.
But you have to begin to consider who our audience is. Consider speaking to your coworker. What do they think about that phrase, eating the Lord? Or what does a junior higher think? When we hear it, we think, oh, that's something so sweet and so living. It's not so sweet and so living to your coworker to hear something like that.
Right, right.
So you might not want to start there. You might want to start somewhere else, like, what are some different things human beings need to live?
Right.
And then get a number of answers. And then... you might go further and focus on, you know, point out, yeah, we need food. We need food. Have you ever missed breakfast and then late afternoon you realize you missed lunch? How did you feel? I felt agitated. I felt angry, you know? And so you're getting them into the feeling of what it's like to need food. So that when you come to something like John 6, in a few, you know, you're leading them there. They realize that they need this supply from the Lord. That's why I'm never feeling that great as a believer. Or that's why I feel empty all the time. And so you start in a very basic place and you're kind of leading point by point, removing veils until you hit something. And it's like, oh, that's what I need.
Yeah.
And the Lord gives it to us in the Bible. Okay, so with your neighbor, quickly figure out who's going to be the one asking the questions, who's going to be the one answering, and then just think of a first question. How would you say this to your coworker? And the person who's answering, just take it in a little bit of seriousness, receive the question and answer in a good way so that you can continue the conversation. We're going to do a little bit of practice for about 5 minutes, and then we'll come back together,
good,
okay?
Good.
So use this verse, John 6:51.
We are co-workers, amen.
Steve, man.
What's up, man?
Good to see you, dude. How you been? Glad you could, okay, is this the setting of a home meeting, maybe?
Sure, yeah, I'll either lunch or home meeting.
Okay. Glad you can make it out, man.
Really small.
Okay.
I'll be the...
Yeah, so, dude, okay. I just always had the thought, like, okay, first off, if I ask you, what are the things that are necessary for a human being to exist and survive?
What is do you mean, like,
air, water,
okay, food. We got a lot of that here tonight. Sunshine?
Dinner?
Yeah. There we go. Well, if I ask you, you know, when you get sick, what's usually the first thing that goes?
Like
what's the last thing you want to do when you're really
like,
not feeling negative?
Maybe eat, or
the appetite goes away.
Yeah,
yeah, probably. Yeah.
It's like an appetite goes away.
I
don't know. I mean, are you over here? Maybe
let's say for simplicity. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, dude, have you ever just felt like, I mean, you know, maybe you've been going to church services weekly, and you've been going to all the meetings, you know, you've been like hanging out with some of your buddies who are believers, but like, have you ever like, felt like stagnant? Or
sure.
Like, what do you usually think is like, why do you think those feelings kind of come up sometimes?
I think it's the same thing when you come to work. That's a good question. Honestly, yeah, I went out wish like when I go to church.
So like there's things I'd rather
wish like anyway. Fresh, maybe I'll just always love Jesus.
Yeah. I don't know. I just always thought like I feel like it's inevitable, like, you know, we really, you know, we have a heart for God, but it's just natural that there are times where we feel kind of like, I don't know, like even though we have God and we're satisfied, we know we're saved, there's like still a feeling like of a lack of enjoyment sometimes. And for me, like I just really consider like something I've been enjoying.
Sometimes
Jesus reveals to us that he's the bread of life. We even see, like, you know, he's the one who gives us life. You know? So, like, I don't know, that phrase, like, Jesus is, like, the bread of life. Or even when Jesus said, like, I have to live like that, like, what have you ever thought about like that? Absolutely. And what I even like, you know, I think in the sense he referred to, like, Christ, because Christ is the Word, you know? The Word became flesh. Later in that chapter, we see that the words he has given to us are spirit and life. So, like, when it comes to this, like, I don't know, have you ever heard people say, like, when you hear people say eating the Lord, you probably think of, like, communion, right?
Yeah.
Oh, are you yawning now?
Sorry.
Oh, Jesus.
This is a long drive, I know. But, I normally would just take people to the Word if they're a believer.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, yeah. I really appreciate it. I am living bread which came down out of heaven. Anyone eats this bread, he shall live forever. And, you know, I feel like I just appreciate, like, this life is not just talking about, you know, us going on to, like, not have death eternally. But it's also, it's God himself love to us, you know. And we even know, like, the Lord later, you know, in the other parts of the gospel says, like, I am the way and the truth and the life. And even in the Bible it talks about he who is... Yeah, here we go. Let's appreciate this verse. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words which I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. And just for me, when I hear this phrase, like, we need to eat the Lord, the Lord is our food, he will supply, I think we need to eat his word more than anybody, you know? Because we see him speak. The word is spirit and is life, so I don't know, man. Whenever you're in that state, you're kind of stagnant, I would just tell you to eat Christ, and we can, one way we can do that practically is just join the word in your Bible. He's coming back next week.
Saints, we just have a few minutes. I had a very good conversation. Being led to see my need of being fed. So I hope you all did too. I wonder if we could take a few minutes here. We just have a few minutes to share either what you learned from your conversation or a question that you have now that you had a conversation like that, or just your something that you were touched with that you learned from the speaking or from the reading, something you just want to overflow and emphasize. So any of those things, something you learned with your conversation, a question you have, or just some overflow of what you enjoy. Okay, just for a few minutes here.
All right, I just feel like I was talking way too long. Like, I feel like I was speaking a message to Steven. Like, yeah, and then I don't know, it just turned into like a sermon really quickly. So yeah.
There are two things that came out of our time. One of them was there's a need to see the dots that we're trying to connect. Mm-hmm. Right? You need a way that how are you gonna speak and then develop that connection. That's the first thing. And then the second thing was many times we feel that we're speaking things that we don't 100% either understand or appreciate.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? Like, how can I speak about eating the Lord when I personally don't 100% get it or experience or know it, right?
Yeah.
So those were two things that came out of our time.
Mm.
I think something I learned is for a lot of times we think meeting others or supplying others involves like us knowing already what they need and giving them what we think they need. So we always start with, like, I appreciated this, or I enjoyed this. But it really requires us to enter into their situation, so we're not opinionated.
Amen.
So it requires a lot of, like, not probing, but, like step by step, like, going, like, entering really into where they are. Because I was pretending to be her coworker. Anyway, to see, oh, that's what you need, so this is something that I give you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
Even my questions that I was trying to get her to like answer, I couldn't help but feel bad. Like I asked her, like, and you feel like that makes you happy? Because she's talking about going out to eat restaurants and things like that. And I feel like my question sounded so mean. And so how do you ask questions that don't make them feel like you're trying to shine a light or judge them? And two, what happens if you do? Like, how do you retract or just like, this came out wrong?
It's
hard.
Yeah.
Any others? This is very good, just to hear these kinds of things we're wrestling with.
Yeah.
It's very, very good.
I'll just say a little bit. I feel like one kind of
I guess, blessing about serving full time is you're in this situation all the time with people.
Yeah.
And at least to the second thing that Andres mentioned about not feeling like you have the answer or you feel like maybe you didn't enjoy it enough. Actually, I feel like one of the blessings is that you get to just speak by faith. Speak, maybe you're not presenting like, this is definitely the right answer, but you're able to present something that you're grappling with and you've experienced a little bit of. But at least in my experience, sometimes, like, you know, I just speak a little bit and not even with some faith, but not like full, you know, not like I fully get it, but yeah. Then that strengthens me.
Amen.
That's something that just fills me and saves me, actually, you know, day by day, even in my appointments with people or talking with people.
Yeah.
So I can present just a little bit, and that actually is the Lord's able to just bless that, I think.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Good. Well, anyone else? I would just like to emphasize two things here before we go, but if anyone else has anything, I'd like to give you the opportunity. Okay, well, I just want to touch two things. If you notice, this ministry sheet was two sections. The first section is from a book called The Practice of the Group Meeting. And that section focuses on our need to ask the right questions. In one sense, in one place it says, to ask in a proper way is even more difficult than to answer them. So this is what we were just grappling
that's right.
with.
That's right.
So this requires us to really think and consider and to listen. To listen so that we can ask the right questions. Or like Paul, he was observing so then he knew, he had some idea of what to say. So sometimes we're in a meeting, we're observing the faces, and all the faces are low. Or we're observing, we're looking at the news, and we realize everyone in this room's got to be thinking about this. Yeah. Or we just realize the age group, and we meet them in that place.
Yeah.
But you're considering. Good. You're considering.
Yeah.
Next thing, I'd like to read the first paragraph in the second section. It starts by saying many times. Okay, so you can follow me. I think this is such a critical paragraph. Many times we try to answer a question, we give a lot of good teachings, but we don't ask it according to the asker's thought. Therefore, while one is teaching, all others must be learning. This means, first of all, we need to really listen to the person and try to understand them. Yeah. We always have the answer already fixed that we would give them, but we listen to them. Then it says this, all the others should be learning. So when we're in a small group, we're all engaged.
Yes.
And there's a question going on. All of us are listening. Okay, wow, that was an interesting question. And we're listening to the answer and we're considering. We're considering this. We're learning. We may also enter in right then after it with another question or with another answer. But we're all learning and listening. Okay, we're engaged.
Amen.
Then it says, this way everyone is exercised. We need to learn how to answer in a fitting way. Now listen to this. After going home, we may consider certain questions so that the next time such a question is raised, we can answer it in a better way.
Yep. There you go.
So we may have heard a question, we may have given an answer, or we may have heard someone else give an answer. We're not criticizing or judging each other, but we're thinking, how can I answer this in a way that will really meet the need, or in a way that will really engage that person, or in a way that will really answer what they're really asking.
Amen.
And we think about this, even in our off time. Yeah. We're not in the meeting, but we're thinking, how can I really answer a question? And when someone says, why do you guys say this? How can I answer that in a good way?
Yeah.
And so this takes practice. Why I'm emphasizing these parts is just that. It takes practice.
Yep.
We realize we're wrestling with this. How do we do it? I went too far. I spoke too much. I said something that sounded offensive. We think about this. Okay, how can I say it next time? How can I?
Amen.
It's something that we continue to learn. We continue to grapple with. We continue to exercise. Continue to practice.
Amen.
This is the only way we can have this kind of uplifted atmosphere of mutuality in our group. So I hope we would continue to practice these things.
Amen.
That we've been getting into in the last few weeks in these sessions. These recordings should be up online soon, and we need to get to our two districts to begin the meeting. So we'll.